Ramsey TV.
I am going to get a haircut soon, if you've been wondering. I know it's a little unmanageable right now, so I will fix that soon. On another note, my youngest son told me that I should tell you to subscribe to my channel. I hate doing stuff like that. I hate anything that makes my video series, my YouTube channel, sound like a commercial enterprise. Everybody who makes videos says, don't forget to subscribe to my channel, hit the like button. I hate that stuff. Hate it. Having said that, if you want to subscribe, go ahead, subscribe. I don't care. I really don't care if you subscribe or not. I just want you to watch the videos and get the information. So if you subscribe, what does that do for me? Gives me some kind of cred. I can say, well, I've got 3,000 subscribers. Well, I've got 20,000 subscribers. Who cares how many subscribers I have? I don't really care. I actually do care about how many views I have, because that means people are watching it. Yeah, I just want people to watch it. I don't know how subscribing helps people watch it. Well, I guess then it automatically pops up in your notifications. So whatever, do what you have to do, you know. Just come here, because here at MZTV, you will find God glorified. You will find Jesus Christ glorified. You will find humanity mortified. Oh, I love to mortify humanity. Humanity mortified, God glorified. The human organizations that get together and claim to own the franchise on God and Christ, no. I blow them up like Gomez Adams used to blow up his toy train sets in the basement. Great. Love that. And if you want to know if this channel, when you're watching it, you're hearing the things I'm saying about God, that God is a God who is in control of the universe, every aspect of it, is the only free will in the universe, sent his son to die for the sins of the world, and his son succeeded, the result being that sin no longer keeps any creature from returning to God, and that God will eventually be all in all. This is good news. This is good news. My God is better than their God. That's what it comes down to. Which God is more glorious? Which Christ is more successful? That's how you tell. Well, how do I know if Martin's End is right or all these other YouTube channels are right? Ask yourself, whose God is greater? The God of Martin Zender? Or the God of Joe and Jill Christian? My God's bigger and better. Yeah. Godzilla, baby. Size matters. Suckers. Talking to Joe and Jill Christian. Size matters. Glory matters. Success matters. You can't ignore these things and say that they don't matter. Oh yeah, Zender's God eventually reconciles the universe, eventually leaves no corner of the universe smoldering in death, evil, sin, and pain. Yes, Zender's God does that. True, Zender's God causes all things to happen and actually has a purpose in all these things. And it's true that only with Zender's God can we truly say that everything has a purpose, because Zender's God is operating all things in accord with a counsel of his own will, not Zender's, but God's. And it's true that our God is not in control of everything, because he's given his sovereign will out to every single creature. That occasionally poses a problem for our God, because he then isn't sure what people are going to do, and a lot of people get away with shit that he never intended, Satan being the numero uno shitter getter away with. And so, yeah, our God created a world and an earth that is slightly dangerous, in that we're not completely certain of the outcome. We don't know who's going to be saved. We're not sure what is God's will and what isn't God's will. to the extent that we have to pray constantly to see if we are in God's will. And we have to constantly analyze ourselves because our God is still a little bit upset about sin. Well, no, he's a lot upset about sin. True, Zender's God says that sin is no longer a problem because Zender's Christ took away sin. Our Christ, well, you know, he tried to take away sin. It was a hell of an effort. Hell, that's a good one because that's where people are going to go who don't believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I know. Zender's God says that God gives belief, that belief is a gift. Our God, no, of course not. God doesn't give you belief. Otherwise, God would have to override your free will. And we know that our God wouldn't do that. Our God is a gentleman. Now, he doesn't interfere in anyone's life. Well, Zender's God, I suppose it would be nice to think of, nice to think of a God who is operating your life, who knows your life, who actually created your life and set all the details of your life out ahead of time for you to walk in them. That way, really, you couldn't actually make a misstep because everything would be operating in accord with God's will. Yes, that's true. And we can see why Joe and Jill Christian, we can see why people would be attracted by Zender's God. He does seem to have everything organized. Zender's God, not Zender. Zender's not very organized. My God, have you ever seen his videos? He's like all freaking over the place. At least we are organized. At least we have shiny presentations. At least we have many more views than Martin Zender. Come on, we're more popular. You must give us credit for that. Is it? We are much more popular than Martin Zender's God. We do wrestle with this sometimes, that Jesus, when he was on the earth, wasn't very popular. In fact, he was sort of an outcast, and his friends were also outcasts. And it's true, the mainstream religious organization of Jesus' day persecuted him. But it's just not that way today. That was a faraway time. It was a different era. It was a different time. Now, it's weird how now Jesus is really popular and everybody flocks to Jesus. I guess that's a credit to our PR departments. Yeah, because our PR departments have made Jesus Christ popular. He's a pop icon. You have to congratulate us for that. Zender's Christ, yeah, even though he's successful, and even though he actually took away the sin of the world, he's just not very popular. Because look at Zender. Look at his views. Look at his studio. He's got a freaking washer and a dryer. And what happened to the red towel on top of the laundry basket? At least the red towel was some sort of comfort to us, some kind of regularity. But no, Zender's all over the place. You never know what's going to be on top of that laundry basket. Got a washer and dryer for a set. It's just unacceptable. And we must ask you this. Where is Martin Zender's diploma? He doesn't have one. He's self-educated. It's a little shaky. We have produced all of our men and women of God through prefabricated systems of learning. We stamped them. Have you ever seen like those factories back in the day when Henry Ford, who really put a car in everyone's garage, he perfected the art of mass production, you know, and the parts come through and every worker has his or her own assignment. One person puts the hub on the wheel, one person screws on the steering wheel, and they're all the same. The steering wheels are the same, the hubs are the same. It's the Model T Ford. It comes in any color you want as long as it's black. That's kind of like what we do today, but it's efficient. You have to admit that. We just stamp them out. Boom, 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 boom. Another Baptist. Boom, boom. Another Methodist. Boom, boom. Zender, he's kind of, again, you just can't trust these self-educated people, okay? Because here's the danger. You know, they look into Scripture for themselves. And they don't have to toe a denominational line. They don't have to crawl into the dean's office, the head honcho's office, to see if what they're teaching is in accord with the denominational line, the accepted denominational principles. You know, and that is a good thing to have to answer to higher-ups, because that makes our men and women of God accountable. Accountable to people who have actual degrees from actual theological seminaries. What could go wrong with that? There's Martin Zender. A polished speaker, he is not. A sharp dresser, well, yeah, his sweater thing does look pretty good today, we have to admit. He wears a nice watch, even though it hasn't worked since 2005. Yeah, we hear rumors that it's always 4:33 on Zender's watch. Well, it is right twice a day. But Joe and Jill Christian, they're not even right twice a day. Joe and Jill Christian are not even as dependable as a broken watch, because their teachings are dead wrong. You know what I once said on Christian radio? Yeah. Don't ask me how I ended up on Christian radio. It's happened three times. Every time I've been asked to leave. I don't know how that happened, but I actually said in Cleveland, Ohio in 1999, it was 1100 on the AM dial, WCCD, I actually said that everything that Christianity believes is wrong. How could I say that? Because it is. Every single teaching is wrong. Now, I'm not saying they don't say the right words. They say they believe in grace. So, I mean, it's not wrong what they're saying. But when you probe beneath the whitewashed wall, you will find that they don't really believe that. And when you find what they actually believe, of course, we believe God is sovereign. That's what they advertise. They believe God is sovereign. Then when you probe underneath, you find, well, you know, he did give every human being sovereignty as well. And then the question is, well, if he gave every human being sovereignty, how can he still have it? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So no, they're not even right twice a day. You must ask yourself then, when going around the internet, clicking around YouTube, subscribing to various websites purporting to be the spokespeople of God, you have to ask yourself this. Whose God is greater? Don't look at the messenger. Don't consider the messenger's dress, the messenger's degree, the messenger's formal education. Don't look at the messenger's set. Don't look at the messenger's view count. Let that be all irrelevant to you. And you need to focus on only one thing. And I pray to God that I am speaking to someone today who has never been here. And maybe somebody sent them a link to this show for the first time and they said, listen to this guy in the laundry room. And you're listening and you just don't know what to think. Part of it sounds intriguing to you. You've never heard anything like this. Nobody teaching God has ever actually spoken in this way. I don't know what to think, because here's this crazy guy, MZTV, Martin Zender, and here's, you know, a trusted, certified, insured website run by professionals and taught by masters of divinity who have been stamped and certified out of a prefabricated mold of a religious institution that has been certified. Did I mention that? Certified, yes. Ask yourself this. Don't look at all those externals. I don't want you to look at one thing only. The message, the words. Because if you're at MZTV, it's a divine appointment. Because it's not about MZ. It's about the greatness of God whose God wins. This is a contest, nothing less, nothing more. It's a contest. A contest between the true God and the fake God. It's a contest between the true Jesus Christ and the fake Jesus Christ. Here's my question. Which God and Christ win? Which God and Christ is greater? It's like the contest that Elijah had on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. Let the God who performs on this mountain be the true God. Let the God who miraculously consumes the sacrifice be the true God. It's a contest. Who wins the Olympics? Who wins the Olympics? The competitor who does the best. The competitor who runs the fastest in the 800 meters wins the 800 meters. Isn't that the way it should be? The contestant that jumps higher wins the high jump. It's that simple. Which God sets out, that is, purposes to return the universe to himself, sets out to become the Father of all, and succeeds, and actually does it. And which God doesn't do it? Which Christ comes down to earth to save the world from sin and death, and actually succeeds? Which Christ succeeds and which Christ fails? My Christ succeeds. And through the fullness of time will return all creation to himself. Their Christ fails. He cannot return all the sons and daughters of Adam to God because some of them are just too damn stubborn. And apparently God had not realized just how stubborn humanity can be. And so, doggone it, I have to send most of them to hell for eternity. They wouldn't obey me. My God draws all humanity to himself by a display of love. That love being his own son, as an offering to humanity. In the old days, it was humanity offering things to God constantly. God, is this good enough? God, take this. Take my lamb. Take my bull. Take my turtle dove. Take my grain. Is this good enough, God? Is this good enough? That's the way it was presented in the old days. But in these days, we see the truth presented through Jesus Christ. And here it's God offering to humanity a sacrifice. But it goes beyond the old sacrifices because it's not a mere offering. It's not a line in the sand. It's not an opportunity for humans to show what they can do for God. This is an announcement. This is an act showing what God has done for humanity. He has sent his only son to die the most despicable death on the cross. And with that death, the awfulness of it, the depth of it, the pain, the agony, the suffering, the being distanced from God, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, he took the old humanity to the grave with him. And he has secured the salvation of every single human being. Romans 5, 18 and 19, Colossians 1, 16 through 20, Ephesians 1, 10, 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 28, 1 Timothy 4, 10, 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 6, all the verses are there. Romans 11, 36, Romans 11, 32, I got the verses proving that my God's better than theirs. My God's great, their God sucks. My Christ saves the world. Their Christ tried to save the world. Their Christ depends on human beings working. Their Christ depends on human beings cleaning up their lives. My Christ died for sinners. My Christ died for people who in no way could possibly believe in him because they were racked with under sin and death, racked with sin and come under the condemnation of death that made them unable to choose Jesus Christ. My Christ died for them. My Christ died for people who, when they find out what he did, that is, died for the entire world, they believe it. With my Christ, the belief of human beings comes after they're saved, not before. Their Christ requires belief in order to be saved. Their Christ requires a work. For their Christ, your belief is a dime in the gumball machine that kicks out the gumball of salvation. It's a deal. No matter how they paint it, it's a proposition. Christ did his part, wasn't good enough. You finish it with the gumball of salvation, and a dime is your faith. So much faith for so much salvation. This is the law of Moses dressed up in sheep's clothing. It's a deception to present it as the grace of God. My Christ, it truly is the grace of God, because he saves apart from human contribution. He saves even apart from human faith. The faith comes later when God gives the gift of being able to apprehend what Christ did on the cross for all humanity. What Christ did is not dependent on human beings, because salvation from a human is futile. Hello? It's futile. With my Christ and my God, salvation comes by the death for sin, the entombment and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of the transcendent grace of God. Why is it transcendently graceful? Because it does not depend on human contribution. Their Christ, it all depends on human contribution. In the old days, it was a turtle dove. Today, it's your faith. It's all dressed up. But it's the same thing. The human finishes the job. Not here. Not here, baby. No, not here. Christ started it. Christ finishes it and delivers a universe completed and perfected. Delivers that universe through the blood of his cross back to God.